B-Pod Studios.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk, while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Tusher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's 7:04, Friday morning, Tutcher and Rich, Hardy and Adam Jones, Joe Murray here. Burt Breel will be joining us shortly. I don't know. He's not out for a run, having a soak or something. I don't know.
Now, I was here last Friday.
Was he late?
A little bit.
Okay. I didn't confirm anything.
Oh, yeah, he was.
All right,
yeah.
Whatever. All right, Burt will join us here soon enough. The Cardi B song, and again, it's my bad for not having listened to it. Knowing I knew what WAP stood for, and I've seen it used a lot on social media.
Oh, yeah?
Right? I had not heard the song until yesterday. You know, you can't pay attention to everything.
You can't, nope.
Which is, you know, been my argument for years. It's like, how come there's not more people watching college hockey? Because you can't pay attention to everything.
Right.
You just can't. All right? So that one slipped by me. That's an absolutely filthy song.
It's not clean. Yeah, I know.
Puts Two Live Crew to shame. Makes it seem tame.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
And the things that young woman does for a cell phone. My goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Getting your rent paid, fine. I understand that.
Yeah.
Cell phone.
There's been a lot of them over the years, though. What's her name? Nicki Minaj had the Anaconda ripoff.
Yep. A lot of dirty songs, you're saying?
A lot of dirty songs.
Yeah.
Over the last couple of years.
This one, it elevates the discourse, I would say.
There's a lot of imagery in it. There are a lot of metaphors.
Oh, is that what those
were? For the WAP that are
metaphors.
Yeah, that are used at the end. That's exactly what they are. I don't think she's using like or as, so they're not similes. I was thinking
much too literally.
Metaphorical phrases.
Yeah, Big Mac trucks, little garages, things to that degree.
Yeah,
wet macaroni. I don't think that's. I don't think that is literal, Jones. I think it's a metaphor.
I thought she was just singing about the macaroni.
Yeah, well, that's not it. But hell of a song by both Cardi B and Adam Jones.
You know what I noticed on that song, Hardy, is if you could play a quick clip of Adam Jones rapping. He sounds like somebody we've met in the past.
Yeah. This is not flattering. Sander, cause my wife is pushy.
Traded Mookie and a prize, cause my wife is... So now listen to this guy, because I'm thinking Adam Jones has recorded some songs before.
Oh. Let's hear it.
I can't wait. I can't imagine who it would be.
What a tease.
Is he Jungalo?
Oh, we can't hear it. Oh, we didn't hear that.
Oh.
Well, that went well then.
See,
I could hear it, no problem.
So Lockhart said this before the show today.
Not,
I'm like,
that is not
it didn't
flattering.
Sound anything like Jungalo. Oh, my God. Your John Henry voice? Jungalo-esque.
That sounds like Jungalo?
It doesn't not sound like Jungalo.
Is he John Henry?
Is that still not playing?
No.
Jesus Christ. Never mind, my joke's over.
No, Lockhart. Great pull, though. It's Jungalo.
It sounds familiar.
It's the raspiness.
Yep.
Your flow, though, is, I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah. Well.
And I know, look, you're using Cardi B's, you know, rhyme structure. I'm sure you broke it all down.
Iambic
pentameter, whatnot.
Sure, yeah. Very scientific.
The actual vocalizations are Jungalo-esque.
Yeah.
I can see
that.
I tell you what, it speaks more to the fact that Jungalo sounds like John Henry, I think, when you really boil it down.
Yeah, but my John Henry impression doesn't sound at all like John Henry. That's a flaw in the whole structure.
What's your Jungalo impression?
I need to hear it. I need to hear it.
I need to hear it once before.
Yeah.
First time in my life.
I need to hear it.
You've heard Jungalo before.
I got to method act it out a little bit.
Have you heard Jungalo before?
I have, but I got to be honest, I'm not sure I can picture it in my head.
Okay. All right. Hmm? Well, let me know if you have Jungle O at any point that we can play, so we can do them back to back. Go ahead, Kevin.
I can just go in the other room and listen to it.
No, we can play it for the...
Oh, here we go. You got a phone call from... It actually does.
He just plows through.
It does sound like it.
I keep saying he's like John Lee Hooker. He doesn't really pay attention to the phrasing. Yep. You know, the 12-bar blues. Yeah, but sometimes you got a little bit more to say, and you just keep rolling, and how Jungle O raps.
It's okay.
Oh, man. All right, how long are we supposed to tap dance waiting for Burt Breer? Can we just move on to something else then?
Sure.
I mean, honestly, I kind of don't care at this point. If he joins us at 7:20 or 7:40 or not at all, it's fine.
Yeah.
I'd love to talk to Bert, but what the hell? Move on?
Yeah.
All right.
Last week we theorized maybe he had some news. Remember last Friday, Jarrett Stidham, it came out that Jarrett Stidham was hurt. And so we said, ooh, maybe Bert is working on a story here.
Yeah.
Nope. Turns out we had him on at 8. We're like, hey, you heard anything on Jarrett Stidham? He's like, nope.
Was that not it?
I don't know. 6:05. I'm like, yep, heard something on Stidham. Then somebody upstreet, you know, uptowns mentioned it. And then we ended up having 9:55. We found out Stidham.
We officially found
out. Yeah.
Good grief. Yeah. All right. We can go back and
he only does it every week. I can see how you would forget about it.
It's only every time he's supposed to be on.
Yeah.
Because isn't he doing a Zoom call? Is that it?
Yeah. And Nick's, I believe, on the line with him right now. But I think we've tracked down Mr. Breer.
Oh, nice.
Just let me know if I should eat this banana or maybe have something.
Well, I had a banana this morning.
Hey, banana.
Well, now we're gonna have to wait anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Let's just bring him on at 7:20 then. Okay.
I think.
Because what are we gonna have him for 3 minutes?
Oh, I see your point.
And he can sit through the commercial break then.
A little inside
if he's ready. All right, put him up. Bert, hello.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Oh, there you are. What's going on, buddy?
I don't know. You guys are having some technical issues this morning?
I'm like Joe Murray. I'm just sitting here. I don't know. I was told you were going to be on at 7 o'clock at 7:10. You tell me. What happened?
I had the computer ready. I had my mic ready. I had everything ready to go, and no Zoom went to my email, and I was wondering what happened. So here I am on the phone.
Well, at least your phone sounds good. Bert Breer is the senior NFL reporter and lead content strategist for the MMQB, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hi, Bert. All right, let's begin begin the interview proper. What are you hearing from Foxborough?
Nice.
You like that one?
True.
What am I hearing from Foxborough in general?
Oh, my God. Yeah. What's the biggest...
I think Jim Boone's going to be the quarterback. I think this is sort of the position that every team that's got a quarterback competition is in across the NFL. And so if you look in Cincinnati, they pretty much made it to Joe Burrow early on. Los Angeles and Miami, the Chargers and the Dolphins, drafted quarterbacks in the top six, and they're going to go with their veterans. At least it looks that way. I mean, the only true quarterback competition that I think we have in the NFL right now is the one in Chicago between Nick Foles and Mitch Trubisky. And I think that's just sort of a reflection of where the league is right now, where you don't have preseason games. You only really have 3 weeks of training camp. And just to be fair to everybody, you have to sort of make quicker decisions on positions, in particular the quarterback position, because, you know, when you're going to build your offense, to be fair to the other 10 guys in the huddle, you're going to figure out what you're going to be on offense. You need to know who your quarterback's going to be.
Are we going to see players in the NFL boycott? Is that something that the league, I would imagine, is bracing for? I know Troy Vincent was pretty impassioned with some comments he had. Yesterday, is the league preparing for, you know, potential boycotts like we've seen in other leagues?
I'm not sure that we're in. I think over the next few days, obviously we had, I think it was 7 or 8 teams cancel practice yesterday. The Lions were actually out in front of this 2 days ago. They actually, wound up, canceling their practice before the NBA guys did anything. So I think they were first. Of anybody in sports. And so
what about games though?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's going to happen. Here's the thing. the NFL has been in this for 4 years now. You know, and because this really does go back to 2016, and because, you know, they do have the Players Coalition, which has worked on a lot of these issues, and, you know, obviously, you know, Devin and Jason McCourty have been very, very involved in that. And quite frankly, because the way the league is set up this year is a lot different than the way the NBA is set up. The NBA is in a bubble, you know, and the NFL, there are fewer games. You know, obviously, job security in the NFL isn't what it is in other sports. No guaranteed contracts. There are more players. I think just, you know, kind of naturally, players are a little bit more replaceable in the NFL. So it's harder for guys to walk away from a, you know, paycheck or a game. You know, I think it's a lot less likely to happen in the NFL than in basketball or baseball. But, you know, I do think that the players are going to be forceful, asking for their owners to back them, asking for their teams to back them, you know, as they go and fight for change. But they've been so, I mean, and I'm not saying the NFL has been great about handling these sorts of things in the past. They haven't, you know, but at the very least, you know, I think that it was sort of front of mind in the NFL way before it was in other sports, because Colin Kaepernick sort of forced that 4 years ago. And so, you know, I just think that they're probably a little bit further down the line than some of these other sports. It's kind of the structure, again, of the games and the seasons. I think it's a little and of course, the way these guys are paid and how replaceable they are. I just think players walking away from games and matches is probably less likely in the NFL than it is in the other sports.
Okay, Bert, I understand that we maybe have something technically figured out. So can we take a quick break here, try and get you up on the Zoom? Because I want to ask you about something you just said about Mitch Trubisky and the quarterback competition in Chicago, which blows me away. I have other questions that we want to get to with you, but we're gonna try it on Zoom on the other side. Is that all right? All right.
I'm just wondering. I'm happy to go up on Zoom though.
Wait, what did you say?
I don't know. Okay. All right. We're gonna try that.
We'll try that.
Don't look at me. I am Joe Murray 2.0.
I don't know where else to look.
I'm just sitting here. We'll try and get Bird on a better connection next here on Toucher and Rich with Hardy and Adam Jones.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back here on Toucher and Rich, Hardy and Adam Jones. Joe Murray here. So, now we have Bert Breer on the Zoom. I can't wait to hear this. Bert, hello?
What's up?
Oh, my God. Wow. You sound so good.
Are you in the room?
Does that sound good?
Yeah, holy it sounds smokes. Amazing. All right, thanks, buddy. You said before there's a quarterback. The only real quarterback competition going on in the NFL right now is between Nick Foles and Mitch Trubisky. It really surprises me. I thought that job was going to Nick Foles, and that was apparent, but that's not the case, huh?
No, Look, I think that part of, you know, the reason you bring in Nick Foles is to get answers on Mitch Trubisky. They've invested a lot of time into Trubisky. They obviously invested the second overall pick into him. And, you know, the very least, I think that they felt like if he can't beat out Nick Foles, then obviously we have our answer and now we can move on. And because Foles had so much experience with so many people on the offensive side of the ball there, in the coaching staff, he was with Matt Nagy in Kansas City. He was with Bill Lazor and John DeFilippo in Philadelphia. So it's a quarterback they know, and they have, I mean, basically Hardy split reps down the middle. And that's not the case with some of these other ones. You know, like, I mean, in Miami, Ryan Fitzpatrick's taking all the first team reps. In LA, Tyrod Taylor is taking all the first team reps. I mean, it is literally right down the middle in Chicago as far as how they're splitting it up with the first team. And they've got a scrimmage at Soldier Field tomorrow. And, you know, maybe they make a decision after that because, you know, only have 2 weeks till the opener. But to this point, you know, the way that Matt Nagy set this whole thing up is for it to be a very real competition. And again, you're not seeing that across the NFL in large part because of the circumstance everybody's in.
So I rarely do this, Bert, but I may have to acknowledge that I was wrong on something, which I hate to do. But I was a big advocate that Cam Newton, as he's getting now, should be getting a lot of the snaps, like apparently mm-hmm. we're seeing around the NFL, because there's no preseason games, right? There's no joint practices. He needs every snap he can get. He needs every rep that he can get. Since the Patriots, like, I don't want to say announced and handed him the job, but, like, it's clear that Cam Newton is the guy. At least from the outside looking in, it seems like he's kind of stunk at all these joint practices, and I wonder if, like, he's, I don't know, backed off a little bit now that he knows it's not a competition anymore. Is there something to that?
Well, here's what I would tell. Do you guys remember, like, reading this stuff about Jimmy Garoppolo last summer?
Well, I remember stuff from a few years ago where he was like a when the lights turn on kind of player. Is that what you're referencing?
Well, no, like, so last year in San Francisco, right, he was coming off the ACL.
Yeah.
And he had one practice where I think he threw like five interceptions in a row, and not like not on like separate possessions, like five interceptions in a row, like five plays. Right. And you kept hearing this stuff coming out of San Francisco. God, he looks awful, you know? And I remember talking to Kyle Shanahan about that. And he said to me, he's like, I need to test him now because we're going to be easing him in September and October coming back off the ACL, right? Mm-hmm. And his whole point was, like, early on, we're probably going to be protecting him a little bit. So I got to make sure that I'm testing him and pushing him and showing him stuff now. So I don't care if he looks awful right now. I need him to see this stuff, and I need him to be challenged in different ways. And I need to do it in an environment where I can show him and build him back up rather than him going out there in September and losing all of his confidence. Think that could be going on here?
I don't know. Do you think it worked out with Garoppolo? They protected him all the way to the Super Bowl, and then they let him do it, and he woofed on a giant throw in the fourth quarter.
Repeat that again. All the way to the Super Bowl.
I see that
they were in the Super Bowl, Jones.
Yeah, not because of him.
In the Super
Bowl. Yeah, but not because of their approach with him. It's not like they ever took the governor off.
They went to the Super Bowl. Look, they went to this, and he lost to Pat Mahomes in the Super Bowl. They went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but we're leading in the third quarter.
No, but double digits.
But what I'm pushing back on is they eased him into September and October. Right. They eased him into the Super Bowl. Like, they barely used him in those two games.
But isn't that better than, you know, him having gone out there? And how many times have we seen guys have a bad first year off an ACL, right? So rather than throwing him out there and ruining his confidence in September, and now you lose a couple of games and you're a mess in the middle of the season, they kind of worked him back up. And maybe he just hit his ceiling. That's possible too, right, Jones? Like, that's possible too. Maybe
Definitely possible, yeah.
Maybe he just hit a ceiling. But I'm saying, like, sometimes these guys look bad in practice because coaches are throwing different things at them and testing them. And, I think when you're lacking preseason games, you're lacking joint practices. If you're Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels and you made the decision, right, we're going with Cam Newton, what do you start doing? You start throwing the kitchen sink at him. Right? Because you only have so much time to get him ready. And so I don't want him to be seeing this or this or this for the first time in a game on September 13th or September 20th. We need to give it to him now. And so, you know, that to me is part of all of this. And I think that's what good coaches do, is that, you know, like, for all of us in the media, we can sit up there and we can watch practice. And, like, I think to a decent degree, a lot of us have an idea of what we're looking at. But we don't know the way the coach is structuring practice. We don't know what he's trying to get out of that individual session. And, you know, I think with Cam coming, Cam hasn't played in a football game in almost a calendar year, you know? So, like, getting Cam reacclimated to game speed and throwing different things at him, I think can be beneficial for him in the long run. And, in a lot of cases, maybe you want him to see things for the first time now,
right,
rather than having that happen in September.
Well, Bert, to that point, you know, there's been talk this week about taking the red shirt off of quarterbacks and maybe even doing it with Cam mm-hmm. Newton. I can see the value in it. And as crazy as it sounds, if there's no preseason games, Tommy Kern argues the first tackle, the first time he gets hit is going to be week one if Cam Newton is the starter. Do you see the value and the logic? And would you agree with taking the red shirt off of not just Cam Newton, but all these guys in this year that's unlike any other?
I'll tell you what, Hardy. I went to 7 camps over the last week. The one common thread, I saw way more 11-on-11 than I've ever seen in training camp. And maybe I was just there the right day in each case. But I'm telling you, like, I saw over the last week, I saw teams going into 11-on-11, like 20 minutes into practice, and you don't usually see that, you know? And so, you know, what that tells me is, you know, teams, coaches across the league are trying to create more game situations because you don't have the joint practices where you normally get some of that. You don't have the preseason games where you get that. And so, you know, just to get the guys who are going to play ready and to better evaluate the guys who maybe, you know, might be on the bubble or whatever, they're trying to create like as much of the full speed situations as they possibly can. And I mean, like, look, part of it is like, if you're going on that logic for the other 21 guys in the field, maybe it makes sense to do it for the quarterback too. Especially if, you know, you've got a quarterback like Cam Newton where you are going to probably use him in a certain way where he is going to be playing the game more like a football player than just a quarterback. So I think it makes sense if you look at the way the camp's gone across the NFL. And you've heard about other coaches doing this. I know the, you know, Giants, Joe Judge talked about taking the no contact jersey off of Daniel Jones down there. It doesn't surprise me at all that they would consider doing this. They've done it in the past. I mean, they did it with Tom Brady at points over the last 20 years. So it wouldn't shock me if they did it with Newton.
All right. Quick question for you here, Bert, based on a conversation that took place in the studio yesterday, Josh Allen or Brian Hoyer, who would you take?
Oh, please.
Is that like a trick question?
No, it's not, because there was a real argument about this yesterday. I'm just wondering which side you're going to fall on.
I think Josh Allen's going to, I think Josh Allen still has a chance to be pretty good. You know, the accuracy issue has been there. I like the situation around him right now. And like his skill set, if you want to project like the high end for him,
Cam.
Like what is Ben Roethlisberger to me. It's like Cam Newton, Ben Roethlisberger. Like that's the sort of athlete he is. Like where maybe he's not going to play the position conventionally ever, but if he's got good guys or if he's got good talent around him and like just scheme wise, structurally, it's sound, I think he can make it work for him. And he's been to the playoffs now, and you've got like a good young core around him where, you know, you've got a young left tackle in Deion Dawkins. You got a young tight end in Dawson Knox. You've got a good veteran group of receivers and Diggs and John Brown and Cole Beasley. And I think two good young running backs and Devin Singletary and Zach Moss behind him. You know, I think so much of it for these young quarterbacks in year two and year three and year four is about what's around them. I mean, Pat Mahomes has been awesome. He's got a great situation around him. Lamar Jackson was great last year. Awesome situation around him. And I think Josh Allen's sort of getting to the point now where, and I'm not saying he's going to be either of those guys, but the Bills have built it up to the point where he's got a pretty good situation around him the way those other guys did.
Hey, Bert, who's the best quarterback in the AFC East?
Oh, God. In the AFC East? I mean, I guess you have to go Cam right now, right?
I think
it's Cam. Yeah, I mean, like, look, he's former MVP. 5 years ago, he won the MVP. I still think you can win with him. Now, all of this is obviously contingent on health, but... I think the guy's a little misunderstood to begin with. I think he's a better teammate than people realize. I think he's a better leader than people realize. I think he's a better worker than a lot of people realize. And I think the reason there are misperceptions about him out there is because he's never really cared to correct them. But I think he's still capable. To me, like everything with him really boils down to health. And it was the shoulder. It was the foot. Go back and watch the first 8 games of the 2018 season. That was the last time you had a really, truly healthy Cam Newton. And what he was able to do in North Turner's offense, when you had like Christian McCaffrey kind of at full throttle and everything was sort of working around him. The first 7 or 8 games of the 2018 season, he was off the charts. Now, I'm not saying you're going to get right back there, but if he's capable of getting to like 90 or 95% of that in September and October, I think he's the best quarterback in the division.
So just to be clear, I didn't hear Brian Hoyer anywhere in there.
I love Hoyer, man.
Like, I love Hoyer too, and I think Hoyer is having a good.
Well, you guys don't love him as much as Lifshatz. That's clear.
Lifshatz and Jones went at it yesterday in the Hoyer versus
you
Josh Allen.
So he would take Hoyer. Jones, so Lifshatz, you don't know anything.
So Lifshatz.
Josh
would take,
Allen will be out of the league in 3 years.
So Joe, is that an official Bankroll Boys opinion?
Yes.
Hoyer over Josh Allen?
I think so. Yeah,
not an official.
It's not an opinion with a capital O.
Nope.
That was his personal quarterback assessment opinion.
Oh, so he's just freelancing on that one.
Yes. Going the under 3,000 yards passing.
Not sanctioned by the Bankroll Boys in any way, shape, or form. All right. Bert, thanks for the time. You sound great on that Zoom.
Oh, so Woo. Good.
Oh, thanks. I thought the phone was okay, too, beforehand, or no?
No.
Okay.
I'll tell you what.
The
Zoom is Cam Newton. The phone is Brian Hoyer.
There you go. And I'm actually some news for you guys. I'm holding out for the iPhone 12. That's why I haven't gotten a new phone yet. But I do hear everybody when they're saying my phone sucks. I'm actually starting to come around on that.
Are you like Tom Brady? You just keep the same iPhone 6 for 5 years?
No, I have an iPhone 10.
Unless you're under investigation,
I have an iPhone 10, and there's like, it's got like a, the case has kind of got like the lining is like coming off of it and everything else. But I think I only have 1 month to go until a new iPhone comes out. Oh. And you can tell the new iPhone's coming out too, because all the crap on your phone starts to like work slow or stop working.
Yeah, I hear that. I am not experiencing that right now. I don't know that I ever have. I think there is a shelf life on the batteries more than anything. And once that starts to go, it happens to be around the same time the new phones come out. I don't think they're
just
sending
a coincidence, right, Hardy?
I don't think they're sending a secret signal out to make your phones work worse. Right when they're introducing a new phone.
Oh, this is the same company that changes their charger like every 5 minutes, so everybody has to buy new ones, right?
Yeah, twice. Twice they've changed it since the iPhone came out.
Wow, big Apple guy here.
2007. Yeah. What? They've changed it twice. I can count to three.
I'm an Android guy. There are dozens of us.
Dozens!
All right. Oh, you're a green boxer?
Yeah, I really don't appreciate being a second class citizen here. Yeah.
They changed it once or twice. I think they changed it once.
You can't trust green boxers.
They changed it one time. One time they changed the charger. All right. Hey, Bert, thanks a lot. We appreciate it, buddy.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Take care. Let's get the headlines here from Joe Murray. We'll keep talking Patriots with you at 617-779-0985.
Sports Hub headlines.
Well, the NBA will resume. Players, of course, met yesterday. They postponed Thursday and Friday's games due to a bout from the Players for Social Justice. So the Celtics game with the Raptors, game one of the playoff series, will tip off this Sunday. It will be at 4 p.m. And, of course, you can hear that game on the Sports Hub, unless the Bruins play then. But I think the Bruins are going to play Saturday, we think. The NHL postponed games for yesterday and today. Game four, Bruins Lightning, TBD at the moment. But Zdeno Chara did speak with the media yesterday, saying that they thought it was the right thing to do to not play and to take a stand. The Patriots did practice early yesterday morning. I believe they have practiced later on today. There was a team scrimmage. The refs were out there. The defense was ahead of the offense. But 10 other teams did not practice yesterday, of course, due to social justice. Same thing with the Red Sox and the Blue Jays. The Sox do take on Washington tonight. In golf at the BMW Championship, Hideki Matsuyama in the lead right now at 3 under par, has a 1-stroke lead. And Hall of Fame basketball coach at Arizona, Luke Olson, he's passed away at the age of 85, won a national championship with the Wildcats. Headlines, they are brought to you by the Commuter Rail. If you take the train for your daily commute but aren't going in every day, the new 5-day Flex Pass gets you 5 discounted 1-day tickets, each good for 24-hour unlimited travel. Visit mbta.com/fares and get the Flex Pass right now, only at the M-Ticket app. I'm Joe Murray on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports. Have your next update in 30 minutes.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Drive home with Felger, and Maz this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I think we're safe. I just checked it. It's Toucher and Rich. It's Hardy and Adam Jones, Joe Murray. So we have a new robot sentry is what I'll call it.
Yeah.
I think it's a good word. Sentry. When you enter the building, you look into this thing.
It has a name.
Arty.
Is that what it is? I didn't know what. I know it was named. I just forgot what it was. Arty?
Arty.
It has a name. Let's call it by its name.
It's an acronym for something, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
But it scans your face to make sure you're wearing a mask, and B, you hold your wrist up to the side, and it takes your temperature. Mm-hmm. And I have not spoken with one person yet whose temperature was 98.6.
Right. That's weird. I was 97 something. I'm 97 something every time I walk in there.
They're all low.
Yeah.
Everybody's low. This morning I was 97.0. Joe Murray, what were you this morning?
I was 98.
Whoa. Okay. Oh, wait a minute.
That's the highest temperature recorded so far.
98.0?
Yeah. I mean, I'm probably a little, you know.
No,
you guys are a little smaller than me. You know, maybe there's something to it. I don't know. Fever.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, Jones is a vampire, so.
Right. I'm actually surprised I was 97.8, quite frankly. I thought it'd be a lot colder.
I'm surprised the camera can see your face. It's kind of like a mirror. I'm surprised it even recognizes.
I mean, we have the shades up in here, so.
That's a good point.
An image there.
That's a good
but
point.
You know what he is? He's a daywalker.
Oh.
Yeah, he's
got vampire tendencies, but he can get away with it.
Daylight ring.
Anybody
obviously. In Vampire Diaries parlance, a daylight ring. Yeah.
Kevin Lockhart, Jamelli. Anybody beat 98 degrees yet on the robot sentry?
Wait, ever?
No.
I've never hit 98 on that thing.
Oh, I hit 98.6 like every day.
Everyone's in the 97s. What? Wait, what?
Yeah, I think I was with Nick one day. We both were 98.6, I think.
Are you pressing your wrist up against it? You're supposed to keep it like an inch away.
I'm going to go down there and do it again.
You need a gap.
Yeah, you got to have like a one-inch gap.
Yep.
They say don't touch the sensor. Are you touching the sensor, Joe?
I might.
Okay. Well, now Artie. Somebody needs to go give Artie a bath.
The only reason why I brought it up is because we were sitting here wondering. We all know, especially you know, once you have kids, what the dangerously high temperature is.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can walk around at 99.4. Like that's fine.
Not according to Artie.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what trips Artie. I don't know what the trip.
That's a good point. Yeah,
but
that's a good point.
Just in normal medical reasons, like you could have, if you. Low grade fever is anything like up to like 100, you're fine. Once you get into the 103, 104, that's the danger zone. But when you clock in here at 96.0, which I did this morning, I'm like
96.0?
96.0.
Yeah, that's, I don't know.
I'm like, that seems really low.
Yeah.
So what is a dangerously low temperature? According to Dr. Google.
Mm-hmm.
Close friend of Artie.
Yep.
Hypothermia occurs as your body temperature falls below 95 degrees.
You're almost hypothermic?
I'm almost hypothermic.
What?
One more degree, and you're going to have to get a heat blanket on me.
Do you watch the survival shows? Man versus Wild or anything like that? If you hit hypothermia, it's a killer.
Let me tell you, you're going to have to slice open a tauntaun and shove me inside that thing. Just to keep me from freezing out here.
Yeah, Bear Grylls slept in a camel one time, yep.
Did he really?
Yeah. I mean, it was probably staged, but he still really gotten like a dead camel, yeah. And slept there, yeah. Desert gets cold. Desert gets real cold at night.
I found that out the hard way.
Hey, it's a survival situation. Anything goes.
Especially in the high desert?
Yep.
What you talking about?
Yeah, he might have been in a low desert.
So the low temperature is something to be aware of.
95. Okay.
Right?
What is an average temperature these days?
I think we're going with 98.6.
Why are we all clocking into the 97s every day?
I think Artie's off. I think Artie needs to be recalibrated. Joe Murray just went downstairs to check in again.
Get his germs all over it again?
Rubbing his wrist up against it.
What'd you lick it, Joe?
The email said like basically two things. Stand there. Don't touch the monitor.
Yep.
Murray's hugging it. Right? He's wrapping his arm. He's touching it so much.
that it's reading him as feverish while the rest of us are borderline hypothermic.
But is 98.6, is that still the average, or is that something we were taught as kids
You keep saying average. That's your normal body temperature.
Well, but again, so you think it's a calibration issue? Why I'm checking in at 97.
I think it's a calibration issue. Okay. Joe, what'd you read at?
97.4.
All right, he's low.
Yeah.
He's low. They're a handful.
Well, we were taught Pluto is a planet as children, and that changed, so maybe the average temperature changed.
You keep saying average temperature. There is a normal body temperature,
right?
Which human
is that not the average? Normal would be average. Is that am I not are those not used interchangeably here?
No.
I think they are.
No.
Yes.
Healthy and normal is not necessary.
No, I understand there's a healthy range. I'm just saying
I don't want to get into a semantics
argument.
I just want you to stop using the word average. What's a normal body temperature?
What's the average? That's what I want to know.
Jones is correct, by the way. It has changed from 98.6.
To what?
98.2.
Okay.
According to WebMD.
Well, there was this commercial.
I told you. Honestly, the fact that kids are going to school, it's a big waste of time, apparently.
No,
Pluto's not a planet. It's 98.2. What's the point?
No, Jones.
What's the point?
There was a commercial once that said, hey, the average temperature of a person is 98.6. And I'd be like, okay.
Right.
I believed it. It was like during like Saturday morning cartoons or something.
Up is down. Down is up. We're spotting dimes.
Or maybe
onions.
Like during Salute Your Shorts
when
on Nickelodeon.
When did it change? When did humans become a half a degree colder? Is it
all walking around in here like 1.5 degrees colder, apparently.
I tell you what I blame. Flip-flops. All you knuckleheads walking around in your sandals looking like you're ready to step into a YMCA shower. Grown men walking around in flip-flops. You've lowered the core body temperature.
You're anti-flip-flop?
For an entire species.
I'm legitimately wearing shoes and jeans, which I barely squeaked into these jeans earlier today. I hadn't worn jeans in a while. I was like, ooh. These are a tighter squeeze than I want them to be.
A little snug?
Snugger than I'd like them to be. But I'm wearing shoes as well. I wear flip-flops every day.
Yeah, it's
what
not.
What do you wear? Shoes in the summer?
Every day.
Shoes?
Shoes. Mm. You want to know why? Because I'm a
nerd alert.
Because I'm a grown-ass man. And more importantly, Jones, you may be called upon as a grown-ass man in this life to do grown-ass man things.
Yeah, I can do those.
Like, I don't know.
I can do those in flip-flops and or bare feet.
Can you?
Because I'm a man.
Can you walk at more than a slow gait in flip-flops?
Yeah.
No.
Yes, I can run.
You can't.
I can run.
No, you can't.
Yes.
Not.
I wish I was wearing flip-flops. I could sprint.
What about on cobblestone?
Yep.
You can do that, in flip-flops?
Sure. Okay. And or bare feet.
Beach, showers, maybe around the hot tub. I found flip-flops very helpful.
They are
Because there's a little toad who lives out there. I think he just likes the warmth of the hot tub. We'll see him out there.
Yep.
I didn't see him last night. I don't know where he is.
I feel like that's going to end poorly for him.
I don't want to
jump in there, little
fella. I don't want to step on him barefoot, so I'll wear the slides. Right?
For you, not for him.
Oh,
for you.
Right.
Yeah. I don't care about the tone. I just don't want to get my feet all icky.
Uncovering and covering the tub before and after the soak. But other than that, no. No flip-flops.
I can sprint in flip-flops.
No, you can't.
I 1,000,000% can.
You're on your way home. Today,
yeah,
you get a flat tire.
I run with my dog sometimes in flip flops. I'm not even joking.
You are such a child and such an infant.
I sound like a superior athlete. What does that mean?
If I saw you running with your dog,
wearing
your flip flops, I would swerve over and hit you. And you out of your freaking
misery. I'm just saying I can do it.
I can do it, and that doesn't mean it is to be done.
Well, I'll grant you that, but you said I can't do it, which is incorrect.
Not to mention most men's feet are just gross smelly.
My feet are disgusting and smelly.
Who wants to look at that?
I don't care about other people. I want my feet to air out. I don't want them dirtier and stinkier in shoes.
That's my favorite argument.
I don't care about you. If my feet are out, who cares? I don't care about you.
Do you wear clothes with holes in them?
Sometimes.
Out to the grocery store,
sure.
you're just like, I don't care what I look like from head to toe.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
You ever seen me? Yes.
No, you don't.
Yes. I don't care.
You're borderline, by the way.
I don't care.
This whole castaway thing.
I'm saying, do you think I care? I don't care.
You can get a haircut now, by the way. It's allowed.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't.
But there are plenty of people who do care about their appearances.
Yeah, well.
But when it comes to the flip-flops, like, I don't care what people think. I'm like, BS.
Oh, I see.
BS.
You're calling an inconsistency in an individual.
Yes,
yeah.
You do all this other stuff for your appearance, but you're like, I don't care what people think. Yes, you desperately care what people think. We all do, except for the flip-flops.
Yeah,
it's just such a childish thing to do. Walk around in flip flops.
Let the dogs breathe.
What if you get a flat tire on the way home? Are you going to get out and change your tire wearing flip flops?
I mean, first of all, I'm not changing my tire either way. Flip flops, shoes, boots.
Shock. AAA.
Get here when you get here. I got a phone.
See, I don't like the flip flop because the tongue breaks. The little thing that sticks into the slip.
You're probably just melting it from your body heat.
Yeah, look, Jamelli. Yeah, human torch over here. Burning through his shoes.
At least you're not wearing mandals. Like, any guy who's wearing sandals, I'm out.
What's the difference? What's a mandal?
You have a flip-flop.
Like a Birkenstock?
Yeah. No mandals.
Yeah, I'm not anti that, but I don't own any. I'll flop it up.
And then the other thing that I'm out on is any slide with a sock on. If you're wearing socks.
Big slide. Don't tell that to Arkan's a big slide guy.
Out on socks and slides.
Arkansas slides.
If you're going to wear slides, you don't wear socks.
If you're going to wear slides, you better be walking around your hot tub or in a YMCA shower. That's it. Yep. Maybe at the pool. That's it.
Freshman dormitory. Because those showers.
Oh.
We have two calls here on body core temperatures. I think we need to get to them immediately. We will begin with Dylan. Go ahead, Dylan. What do you got for us?
So 98.6 or 98.2, normal, average, whatever, that's your internal body temperature, which is why you put a thermometer under your tongue or into your rectum to get that number, right? So that device is measuring your basal body temperature. That's BASAL. And that's always going to be...
We know what a basal temperature is. All right. Okay, you don't have to lecture us. We know what a basal temperature is.
Flip-flop season is March to December. Prove me wrong.
March to December might be a little late, but March to like November, I'd give you.
You're a child, and if I needed help doing anything from a grown man, I wouldn't ask you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't ask you for any
me?
Help. No, anyone wearing flip-flops slides.
If you think I'm changing a tire, you got another thing coming. But I don't need the basal scale mansplained to me, okay? Thanks a lot.
You grew up in Vermont. Didn't you have to like slaughter cows and stuff? Didn't you have to do things that required
I'm like the least Vermont person ever. I stay inside all day. I don't know how to. I'm not going to change a tire.
Matt,
I'll wait hours up in Vermont for AAA to show up.
There's like two wreckers for the entire state. Matt, what do you got?
The temperature inside your mouth is 98.6 degrees, but the temperature inside a winter fresh mouth tastes much cooler.
Thank you. That's very good. Slides, flip flops.
Are we all just chewing winter fresh gum? That's how we get 97.
I don't think it accounts for the entire building. I don't think it accounts for the entire staff.
It's a good theory, though.
Joe Murray is the only one who is tested at. Or as we learned a few minutes ago, slightly above the new normal body temperature of 98.2.
Yeah.
I was running around, though, too. I was, a little huffing and puffing.
Yeah.
Getting up to the machine. I might have hit it. I might have bumped it.
Yeah. I got to start doing calisthenics before I walk into the building.
Well, there's this thing that Murray does. He gets here like at 4 a.m. and sits in his car in the parking lot for a couple hours. I don't know what he's doing.
I got to get my mind right.
Isn't it very interesting to show up here in the morning? Because I'm not normally here in the morning. But like the other stations here, everybody's got like a lot of people have a little car routine out there. I've noticed that.
Yeah.
In the morning.
And Murray's is sitting in his car for a really long time.
Yeah, but how do you know that unless you're out there sitting in your car?
Because I drive in and he's sitting there, and yesterday I sat here for 10 minutes before he came in. And I'm not saying there's like talk about Joe Murray, but there's been some talk about Joe Murray and how long he sits in his car in the parking lot.
I like to sit. we already know that here.
Look, you have kids. Anytime you can get to yourself. So I'll take any time I can get to myself.
He doesn't have any kids.
No, I know. I'm just saying. So,
if we're being honest
here. What are you saying?
He might still enjoy time to himself.
Yeah.
Don't you just want time to think your thoughts, Hardy?
He just sat in the car driving here.
So what? You need a little extra time.
I write my headlines in the car, to be honest.
I know what he's doing out there. It's all right, buddy. First, take care of head. That's what the toys originally told us, and then Sublime covered it. You know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
I know what you're doing. That's all right. You do what you need to do. Let's step aside. We'll get a headline there from Joe Murray at the top of the hour. Are we going to try this? What? What are you laughing at?
Somebody said we need to call an expert hotline to join the flip-flop discussion with a picture of DA.
I just saw the photo.
It's very well photoshopped. It's a very professional looking Photoshop.
They spent a lot of time on that.
I would say they spent almost the whole 60 seconds photoshopping that. So it's very well done.
Oh, good grief. Okay. Joe Murray, the Hub headlines. Are we gonna try the Red Sox thing? I don't know that we are.
Which one is that now, Hardy?
Some good feet talk, huh?
Red Sox are hard knocks. We're going to try it?
I think we do more feet.
We got Joe's headline that he wrote in the car to discuss.
All right.
Feet?
We'll discuss it. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe more flip-flop talk.
Toucher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.